Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Good morning, siblings and friends. Those of you who are joining in with us in Singapore's time zone, online and on-site, good morning to you. And those who are joining us across different time zones, then good day to you. For many of us, they are all here on-site. I'm really grateful to see all your faces, you know. Because sometimes we can have a lot of fatigue. And in life, going through and coping. And especially in this Lent, I hope everyone actually, whether you are journeying through these 40 days, through green pastures, or through the wilderness, I do pray that, you know, you feel the Lord's presence be with you. And as we are just 1 week away from Easter Sunday, I'd like to invite all of us for the remaining week, you know, to ponder upon the mystery of God's love manifested in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And as we prepare our hearts today to meet the Lord in a word, in worship, in communion, I invite all of us who are able and willing to join in one voice and heart to respond to the call to worship. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad this day for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of all creation.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
Dear siblings and friends, let us come together with one heart and one voice to praise our Lord, to commune with Him in our worship.
Without life, without light, till from heaven you came running, there is love in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Let's sing. Brokenness that caused you our Lord to die. blessed thought voices. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. When the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the people stood in awe, for the hearts of all who come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel's truth of all shall not yield, shall not fail. By your word and in your name, in your freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Let's sing the chorus. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares. Thank you for joining us today. And I want to invite you into a time of prayer and a time of reflection. Today is Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. For this whole season of Lent, have you embarked on a journey? And perhaps we too are arriving into Jerusalem, or a Jerusalem of sorts. Throughout this journey, accumulating in this Holy Week, where are we? Have we been struggling with ourselves? Have we found parts of ourselves that need to die? Have we invited God into our lives and asking God, if God, could you transform me? Or have we been asking God for what we want? Have we been trying to impose our will on God instead of aligning ourselves with God's will? Do we pray, "Thy will be done"? God, often we fall back to our self-centeredness, our selfishness, focus on our own needs, our own wants, unable to see what is around us. But Jesus taught us differently. God, will you let us feel and experience what breaks your heart and allow that to break our hearts as well? so that we are moved into action and not just feeling, to change the world. There is much that is wrong with the world, and we believe all these things break your heart. God, Jesus went in to Jerusalem and had a parade, but not a military parade with soldiers, but him on a humble donkey. God, will we learn to beat swords to plowshares, spears into pruning hooks? Will we learn to abandon the weapons of war and guns that create so much violence and so much pain and so much death in the world? We lift up the people in Myanmar. We lift up all those who died, shot at by soldiers when they were protesting, or even just because they happened to be at the wrong place in the wrong time. We lift up their family members, their loved ones, their friends who mourn their loss. We lift up a country broken in chaos. We feel powerless, God, but we feel heartbroken too to all the pain that's going on. And we pray and we cry out and we trust that you will act. We pray for you to prick the conscience of those who pull the trigger, those who build guns. We also lift up for the gun situation in the US. And we are numb to the shootings that we hear of day after day. Mental health and mental illness isn't to blame for gun violence. Guns are to blame for gun violence. And may we find a way to share, to hope, to pray. May our hearts be broken like yours in these situations. God, remake us as a new people so that we become beacons of hope, love, and light. And may we, through our lives, moving away from our selfishness, change the world one little bit at a time. May we learn to die to ourselves so that we can find new life again. God, continue to lead us, teach us, guide us, and strengthen us, and help us know when we fail, and help us grow through those failures so we learn and so we try again. We give thanks for all your love and forgiveness poured onto us so we may learn to love and forgive all those around us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Christ alone, My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in hell, let's pay this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. And on that cross, as Jesus died, the Son of God was crucified, and every sin he did forgive. Here in the death of Christ I lay. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, my source of hope is Christ
alone. Good morning, church. And thank you for the privilege to share the word with you today. We're going to get into the word in a moment, but please do allow me a few moments to get set up. We have upgraded our systems to be able to provide a better experience to both people attending online as well as in FCC. And we're really today trying to do a shakedown of the system. So apologies to anyone online who are experiencing any difficulties, or, you know, I know that some of the audio was clipped during the time of worship. And apologies for also those people here on site if you are experiencing any technical issues. But please do give me a moment to set up. All right, I think we'll just jump into it. The reading for today comes from Mark chapter 11. And You can follow along by actually joining the Mentee code and opening up your browser, and you can actually see the scripture text up close and personal there. So I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 11, starting from verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Then they came to Jerusalem. And as he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple, he overturned the tables of the money changers and seats of all who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we give this time to God together? Dear God, we thank you for each and every person here today. I pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts today in the way that we need to see you and receive you as we encounter you in the gospel story this Easter. Give us open hearts to know your heart for each one of us, and that we will have a greater revelation of who you are, of your heart, and your call for us. I pray that your living word will come alive in our hearts today and enable us to see you clearly and be open to your work in our lives today. I pray that through our time together today and in this service, we can all say that we have encountered the living God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people say, Amen. Amen. Today we are wrapping up the final installment in our series, Our Story of God and Us. Throughout the period of Lent, we have been sharing our journey as a church community in the way that we understand God's heart for us. In this journey, I hope that you have reimagined, relearned and rediscovered things about God, the Bible, LGBTQ inclusion, community, and love. These are all part of the updated faith statement that our leaders in the church, and our leaders in our church council have been working on the past year. So, as we begin our time today, I would like to invite you to share a reflection of maybe one thing that has changed for you this Lent as we have gone through this series together. So if it would be good for you to take out your phones or if you're on your PC, you can open up your browser and go over to menti.com and enter in the code. And please, you can share something from any of the sermons that you might recall or something that you might have experienced about something that you, or maybe something that you have learned, or even like Miak prayed, something that you had to let go and die to. Something that has shifted for you. Today, we have got this great opportunity to share our reflections on Menti, and I hope that you can be participating to co-create the sermon together. This platform allows you to share your collective voice anonymously, and I pray that this will be a good opportunity for you to engage with us together. And while you're doing that, today I just want to set things up for our sermon today. We're going to be closing off the series that we've been talking about of our story of God and us with this very last sermon, and we'll be looking at justice. And maybe you're sitting there and thinking, do we need another sermon about justice? You know, this is FCC. We talk about justice so often. Well, Myak reminds us that, you know, today all over the world is a day that we celebrate Palm Sunday. And it's the start of Holy Week that we mark together, where we remember Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. And in the coming week, we remember his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. So, what also does Palm Sunday and justice have to do with each other? And I'm going to answer that question in a moment, right after we look at some of the responses that you have shared. So some of the things that have changed for you this series is your understanding about Adam and Eve, about knowing that inclusion has always been around, not just expressed, about how you've moved on from running from thoughts in your life, how you have been reminded of God's love and God's promise, about the greater appreciation for the need for community and being whole in community so that we can love better, and the different interpretations of Genesis' story on the sin and the fall. And so thank you so much for your responses. Today is called Palm Sunday because the Jews waved palm branches in the air and welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem like a king. So they lifted up these palm branches. I got them from my dining table on the way here. They just happened to be handy. And then they took off their cloaks and then they laid them down to form a carpet to which Jesus rode on and into Jerusalem on a donkey. But have you ever thought about the significance of all of this? You know, the honor of coming in on this carpet of palms and cloaks was usually given to ancient kings who would ride in on a powerful horse as a sign of power. But while the people in the parade were honoring Jesus as king, the scripture reading that we read through tells us that Jesus instead rode in on a colt, which is a small donkey, one that is usually ridden by children. And as he was riding in, the crowd was shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Please save us now. Please save us now." The people wanted to be saved. They wanted salvation. They wanted freedom. And they were calling out to Jesus to rescue them from the Roman occupation. And Jesus was going to do that, but not in the way that people had wanted him to. You see, he was not going to come in, and we all know the story, he was not going to overpower the Romans. He was not going to come in to take over what the religious rulers were doing, but he was going to show everyone, whether it was the Jews who were waiting for their Messiah, whether it was the religious and political leaders who were protecting their own power, whether it was the disciples who were trying to protect their own future, and all of us, what God's heart is like, how God's justice operates, and what true power was like in giving up his own power. In the church I used to be a part of before FCC, we would skip ahead from the cries of Hosanna of Palm Sunday to "He is risen" on Easter Sunday. And, you know, we wouldn't usually have a Good Friday service. And so often the focus would go from the big parade to the empty tomb without taking time to consider the week of betrayal, denial, insults, spitting, beating, suffering, and the death of Jesus Christ at his crucifixion on Good Friday. And honestly, I prefer to skip, you know, all of this uncomfortable stuff. Stuff like how Jesus ate his last meal with the people he loved most, all of whom, and probably like me, would betray and abandon and deny him. Or to be reminded of my own failures in the failures of his friends like me who couldn't even stay awake while he prayed in the garden. You know, I don't know about you, but I often can't stay awake praying before I go to sleep. Or to find myself in the crowd that will be angry, to taunting Jesus for not living up to my expectations for justice, that people would, perhaps like me, shout, "Get rid of this man, crucify him," and twist him a crown of thorns that passerbys and onlookers like me would probably shout, "For God's sake, save yourself," because I would do just that, to get out of harm's way and save myself. The Gospel's narratives go on to tell us that Jesus gets himself killed in a totally preventable way and never once showing enough self-respect to fight back or get himself out of that path to the cross. At any point along the way, Jesus could have avoided the cross. And at any point along the way, he could have stopped and avoided himself getting killed. He could have stopped, for example, operating in the open when the heat got too high and gone underground instead. He could have stopped being such an activist and started writing books or becoming an advisor to the disciples instead. He maybe could have found more reliable disciples and fired the current batch or softened his message, softened the pursuit of his mission and resolve just enough to stay alive. People like me would argue that he could have been more effective if he had stayed around longer so he could have more impact. So did Jesus really have to go and die on the cross? What was the point of all that beating, suffering, and dying like a criminal? At this point, I would like to invite you to pause and share your thoughts on why you think that Jesus had to die on the cross. You know, I started trying to make sense of Jesus' death on the cross back in my parents' traditional church where I grew up in. I was taught that Jesus had to die on the cross because I was so bad that God had to send his little boy to suffer and die a horrible death because God himself had to pay for the fact that I am bad. And so in Christianity, we created a theological term for this process to which humanity would be saved or atoned for our sins. And it is called justification, or in other words, the path to justice. So almost every Sunday growing up, I would hear readings about the crucifixion and my 12-year-old self will be tortured by how the sins I had committed that week were why God was angry enough to kill his own son. Sins which generally involve things like lying about finishing my homework, making my parents angry, or having a crush on my classmate. And later on, as I grew up, mostly it became sins around lust, fornication, lust, especially with my friends of the same gender. And I'm not sure what was worse about what I was taught. The fact that I was taught that God turned out to be this divine child abuser, or that we had made God out to be an angry loan shark demanding for payment. But let's see what you had to say and what you had shared. A lot of you have shared about, you know, it's about the atonement for sin, you know, being able to be rescued and be forgiven, to be able to defeat God's enemies through an ultimate sacrifice of love for us. And so I think that as we go on this journey, and as you go on in your journey, I invite you to see and be open to some of the things that maybe might change along the way. My perspective of atonement and justice has really changed over the years. And to be honest, it's taken quite a number of years of unlearning after coming out of the environment that I grew up in. And I think that today, this whole idea of God being that divine child abuser or that loan shark demanding repayment is not at all who God is. In fact, I think God's heart is the complete opposite of that. You see, I do think that the whole mess is what we get into when we think that the cross is about us and not about God. And let me explain that. When we think that the cross is about us, the view that we have of God is that God is standing in heaven angry at all the sin and injustices that humanity has committed and looking down from the cross in judgment, judging us and punishing Jesus so that we can be justified back to God. And the problem starts when we think that we can know who God is by looking at what we are like and then projecting that up really, really big. And so, for example, we want revenge, so we say that God is vengeful. We are power hungry, so therefore God must be ultra power hungry. We want our enemies to suffer, so God wants to smite all of God's enemies. And then in the church, we take all of this and we codify it as a core doctrine of justification through what is known as substitutionary penal atonement. And I will get into that in a moment, but I want to first show you how this story goes way back to ancient times when religious beliefs were first developed. I want us to see in this story, as I'm going to be sharing with you, as Blaise Pascal puts it, of how God made man in God's own image and man returned the compliment. Or as how Brennan Manning says, we often make God in our own image and he winds up to be as fussy, rude, narrow-minded, legalistic, judgmental, unforgiving, and unloving as we are. You see, the first religious beliefs in ancient times grew out of shamanism and ancestralism. Our ancestors believed that their ancestors went somewhere and persisted in the afterlife. And I'm really sorry about the eye chart, but maybe it's better on your phones and your PCs. But this picture is from the evolutionary tale of religion. You see, what this map traces is that first people believed that there were spirits attached to rocks and rivers and animals. And eventually, these beings on the other side began to develop such power in the relationship to people in their minds, and that the idea of gods or supernatural beings began to develop, beings who had more power than we did. And these gods, in almost every case, were believed to be power-hungry, violent, angry, and immoral, a lot like humanity at that time. And that's why even today, when something bad happens in the world, like an earthquake or a typhoon, the insurance companies still call those things acts of God, because people were quite certain that these gods could not be controlled. So as religions developed, and as we go up the chart from the bottom, the real innovation of the Jewish tradition was not that there was only one God. That was not what was new. What was new in the Abrahamic tradition was that the Jews back then proposed that the gods were actually moral. God is not immoral. Now, God is still angry, but not without just reason, and not by nature angry. God is justifiably angry because people have broken covenant with God. And so God, who is righteous, is also loving, and moral God will bless us as we do well with God. And so that was the progress the Jewish religion made. And then, as we go further up the chart, you see that the Christian innovation came along. And they said that not only is God moral, God is completely loving, but God demands in God's righteousness a sense of satisfaction of God's wrath and anger. This Christian innovation was so important in a world that had been sacrificing animals and humans for thousands of years to appease God's wrath and anger. And so Christianity came along and said, one last sacrifice with Jesus and we are done. In a world that was filled with sacrificial systems, the idea of one sacrifice for all times was a complete radical and very progressive idea in Jewish culture at that time. And as we read on in the Bible and as you see how things evolve, we see how the Apostle Paul proposed taking the death of Jesus as a scapegoat. The Lamb of God became the perfect ransom for our sins. And while that was brilliant and radical and innovative in Paul's time, it is critically important for us right now to see how there has been this progression in thought, in reimagining God, in the ongoing revelation of God's nature and heart, in understanding atonement and justification. So one big challenge about substitutionary penal atonement for me is that we have to confront on one hand that Jesus is God, but on the other hand, we are also saying that Jesus reconciles us back to God. So if Jesus is the second person of the Trinity manifested in the flesh, then what? God the Father is the angry one and Jesus is the nice one. But yet, that's a contradiction that doesn't quite work even in Scripture, because Jesus himself says, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Jesus also says, I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing. So if the holiness of God is defined as God's incapacity to be with broken, sinful people, Jesus was the opposite of that. Jesus was always with those who were most at the margins of society, saying, I'm simply doing what the Father, or what I see the Father is doing. Now, I think Paul's writing is a really important step in religious development and Christian thinking, but I think it's also time that we progress on from that understanding. On the night when Jesus was with his disciples before his crucifixion, apart from celebrating the Last Supper with them, he also says, I have a lot of things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, God's voice, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And he said, he will even teach you things about me that you don't know. This statement by Jesus doesn't say that the work will be completed at his death, or the ideas of who God is will finish at the day of Pentecost, or when the Bible is put together and the canon is closed. And if Christian history tells us anything from the Protestant Reformation to Copernicus and Galileo, to slavery, to race, to gender equality in ministry, to LGBTQ inclusion, Christian history tells us that we have a capacity from the earliest days to be wrong about really, really important matters. And God unfolds truth to us as we have the consciousness to hear it and the wisdom to discern it. You see, God doesn't change God's mind on slavery, but as we as humans needed to grow ears to hear the heartbeat of God. God does not impose that through God's Spirit on us until we have the capacity to discern it and to understand it. And that's what a progressive approach to Christianity is. What is the Spirit of God trying to say to us today? Progressive theology is not about throwing out Scripture and saying that it doesn't have any value. Progressive Christianity is born out of post-evangelicals who have still a very deep love and respect for the Bible. And we are basically saying to our more liberal siblings, that stuff that you were into a couple of hundred years through Enlightenment and philosophy, we are kind of seeing that in the text now, and we're realizing that it's actually on the heart of God. Today, we need to progress beyond the doctrine of justification through substitutionary penal atonement. Could it be that Jesus was not doing something that was giving God to have the capacity to be with us? Could it be that Jesus' experience on the cross wasn't saying to God the Father, Father God, with my death, you can be with them now? But could it be instead that Jesus was showing us the brokenness of our religious systems and ended up being crucified by the very people that he came to save, to show that nothing, nothing separates people from the love of God? Could it be that through Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus is showing us instead an ultimate act of solidarity, saying to humanity, can you believe God has and always is with you, even in death and dying? That's hard to imagine, isn't it? That God would willingly choose to be poured out for us on the cross because, well, I and we would never do a thing like that. The thing I want us to realize is that God isn't standing above the cross judging humanity. God is hanging from the cross. But when we think that the cross is about us, we lose sight that Jesus died because he would not stop being who he was. And who he was very, very upsetting to those in power. Those who like things the way they are and in order. He turned everything around and upside down. He allied himself with totally the wrong people and insulted all the right ones. He did not play politics or play hierarchy to stay in power. He did not say, this is not the right political climate to do such a bold thing. He disobeyed the law. He challenged the authorities who warned him to stop or else. And when he would not stop being who he was, when he would not stop living his mission in the world, in redeeming all people and restoring all people and all of the world to shalom, they killed him for it. They killed him because he would not stop being who he was and doing what he does. Do you know what were the charges or the charge that was brought against Jesus that brought him to the cross? Let's do a quick multiple choice poll. So I've got three up there. Do you think it was blasphemy? Was it sedition? Or was it troublemaking? Blasphemy, sedition, or troublemaking? What was the charge brought against Jesus that brought him to the cross? And as you can see, it's really a bit of a trick question. Do you realize that the charges that were brought against Jesus were different according to who was making the charges and before whom they were being made? You see, when the hearing against him was in the Jewish court of the Sanhedrin, and if you go and read the Passion story, the charge became a religious one, blasphemy. And so they asked, are you the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah? And in the religious court, it was his claim to be divine that made them believe that he must be put to death. This works in a religious court, but you know, the Romans who occupied the city at that time and who were really in charge really couldn't care less about all of these religious arguments and disputes. They didn't care if people claimed to be divine. I mean, after all, most emperors who were ruling them all claimed to be divine. So when the accusers got to the Roman court, they changed the charge from blasphemy to sedition, from a religious charge to a political charge. So instead of saying that Jesus claims to be king of the Jews, they said, he tells us not to pay our taxes to the emperor. Not paying taxes? Now that gets the attention of any government. Just try it. Our tax filing is coming. But there was more than that. He stirs up the people. This fellow upsets the orders of things. He causes people to be restless with how things are. He is a troublemaker. And on that charge, they were right. And Jesus was, and I believe continues to be, a troublemaker. Jesus challenged the assumptions of his world. He looked at the political system and said, it doesn't have to be this way. He looked at all of those who were excluded from society and said, these people are not to be forgotten and discarded. They should be your priority. He looked at the economic realities and said, this is not what God intended. It doesn't have to be this way. He looked at the religious systems of doing things that help to maintain all of this injustice and said, it must not be this way. He stirred things up and he paid the ultimate price for it. So as we close, if the cross is about God and not about us, then how do we know the nature of God? The good news of the gospel for each one of us in this season is that there is a reliable way for us to know about the nature of God. And that is to never look at ourselves, and it is always to look at Jesus. Jesus is God's self-revelation. Jesus is like God saying, "This is how I want to be known." It is like God telling us, "Will you just stop your projections already and just listen to Jesus, watch Jesus, and follow Jesus so that you can really know who I am and what I'm about?" The way to know the Father is through the Son, and anything else ends up being about us and not about God. And what's amazing is that we can most notably see who God is and how God chooses to reveal God's self in a humble cradle and through a human cross. Because on that cross, we don't see a legal transaction where Jesus pays our debt. We see God, the Word made flesh, hangs from the cross as though God is saying, "I would rather die to be with you than be in the sin accounting business anymore." Well, isn't God judging our sins from the cross? Well, yes. From the cross, God looks at the world and no one escapes God's judgment. Whether it is those who betray Him, those who execute Him, even those who love Him or ignores Him. He judges the crowd, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the disciples. He judges them all. And from the cross, the pronouncement is made on that judgment. And that pronouncement is forgiveness. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing." From this cross, Christ loves the betrayer, the violent, the God-killer in all of us. And despite our protests, He will not lift a finger to get out of harm's way and condemn those who put Him up there. Because it's only finally a God who is unlike us, a God who enters our human existence and suffers our insults with only love and forgiveness, who can save us from ourselves. It is only a self-emptying God walking among us as Emmanuel, God who is with us, who, in the word of Paul, says, "Though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Only this God can save us. How amazing it is to know that only through the cross that we can know that God isn't standing angrily at a distance, but God's abundant grace is hiding in, with, and under all of this broken stuff in the world and around us. Because while the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross is not about you, it is certainly for you. In fact, God is so for you that there is no place God will not go to be with you. Nothing separates you from the love of God in Jesus. Not insults, not betrayal, not apathy, not suffering, and as we see at Easter in the coming week, not even death itself. So let's not skip the cross. Because as Christ's body is broken in this coming week, and which we will remember as we celebrate the Holy Communion together in a moment, it brings two certainties for us. Firstly, that we are in the company of a self-emptying God who pursues you and justifies you with relentless, unconditional love, and who ultimately enters the grave and death in order to say that even here, in the grave, I will not be without you. And that, secondly, we're in the company of that same God who says to us, come, follow me. And as I have done, now go and teach others and go do the same. Go act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. Amen. Before we enter into a time of commemorating our Lord's Supper together, remembering Jesus' journey to the cross, his death, his suffering, I would like to invite you to take a moment to reflect and share on Menti and respond to this question. What have you heard today that changes the way you look at God and Jesus? What question does today's sermon stir up for you? We'll be keeping the Menti going till the end of the service, and in a minute, after the music finishes, Pauline will come up and lead us together in celebrating the Holy Communion. Thank you, church.
A wonderful way that Jesus invites us to remember his love. A wonderful way for us to encounter God's love again is God's invitation to us to this table of grace. And so now I invite us to come into the space and hold the space together as we remember Jesus' love for us as we partake of Holy Communion. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we may not be able to be physically together. The table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You don't have to be a member of FCC. You don't have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Almighty God, as we approach your table, prepare our hearts that the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine may be an opening to you, to one another, and to all in creation. In this we pray, there will be a perfecting of your life in us and the fulfillment of your will through us.
Amen. Amen.
Together.
Most gracious Lord, we acknowledge and lament our many sins. We have placed ourselves above you and crowned ourselves King. We have failed to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We have lived selfishly, not always caring for those around us. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Have mercy upon us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us as we repent with the help of your Holy Spirit. And grant that from this time forward, we may live to worship you and love our fellow human beings so that you may be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this table, most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in.
Even while we take this bread, remember those who are abused and know that our joy is never complete till they find refuge and safety.
You, O Lord, are the God of grace and compassion. So teach us to be your hands of healing to the wounded.
While we take the cup, remember those who are despised and rejected
and know that our hope is for all to know equality before you. You, O Lord, are the sovereign God of justice, so help us to be your source of light in this world of darkness. Just as your Son gave of his life freely for us, may we also give of ourselves freely to those around us. Let your broken body and shed blood move and flow through us, that we may practice a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear our prayers, O merciful God, as we receive this bread and remember your body, which was broken for us. Hear our petitions, O gracious Lord, as we receive this cup and remember your blood, which was shed for us. Can I invite the stewards to come forward to help us to distribute the communion elements? Please stay seated as the stewards come to you, and they will hand you the elements due to safety regulations, so do not reach in to take it for yourself. They will serve you, okay? And we'll wait for everyone to be served before we partake of communion together. For those of you who are online, I invite you to find elements that may represent for you the bread and the wine so that we can partake together, regardless of where we may be. Almighty God, we offer you this bread and this wine, and we give thanks for Christ's death and resurrection. Because he died, we live. Send us your loving spirit to make this bread and this wine a life-giving body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to make us one with him in your covenant of love.
We ask this humbly of you.
Let us now eat of the bread and drink of this cup as one body. May I invite you to stand as we pray the prayer of communion together. Together. All-powerful and living God, help us to be grateful always for your amazing love expressed through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. As you walk with us along the path of eternity, let your Spirit work within us that we may live as true witnesses of your love. To your praise and glory. Amen. Please be seated. And please hold on to the elements, the cups, and you'll be able to dispose of them on your way out later.
Good morning and welcome once again to Free Community Church, our Sunday service. Where Free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal, as we mentioned earlier, as Pauline mentioned during your liturgy earlier, we are all welcome and affirmed by God's love, regardless of your social economic status, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, where you see yourself, even your nationality. We are all united together in God's self-giving love. So we continue our worship through our giving, all right? So for the giving, you can actually do it through the PayNow by scanning the QR code above. Either through the general fund or the building fund. All right. For those who are online, if you'd like to know about the multiple ways or different ways you can gift, you can actually look at the description or go visit our website at freecomchurch.org/gift. So I'd like to allow everyone, right? For those on site, if you're looking at it, it's a little bit small to scan the QR code. You can actually find a QR code right in front and on the sticker stick to the chairs in front of you. Right, so that I can give everybody some time to prepare. So while you're preparing for your giving, and before we take up the offering, for those who are giving physically on-site, right, after the prayer of thanksgiving, our stewards will come forward. And if you're giving by cash, you can just raise your hand and we'll take up your offering. So I'd like to invite all of us to give thanks to our Lord, our God, for the offering. The self-emptying and self-giving God, we praise and we worship you. Lord, we thank you for the gifts, for the offerings as presented. And more importantly, Lord, thank you for every single person here with us, whether online or on-site. We are united by your love for us. Help us to recognize that ourselves and each one another, we are a gift that you have given unto the world and for one another. Help us to practice a living faith, to become living Christ, because your love lives within us and brings us life. We give thanks to you and we glorify you through our givings and the works of our hands. We thank you and we praise you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May I invite our stewards to come forward to take up the offering. For those who are giving by cash, you can just simply raise your hand. Thank you very much. Well, while our stewards are actually taking up the offering, some of you may have noticed that you have something under your chair. All right? If you are, for those who are on site, right, you can actually take a look at this. And before I ask you what it is, let me introduce myself. I am Jimmy, your service leader for the day. And we have a special segment. For those who are online, right, if you know what this special segment is, right, because we have done that twice already, you can type it and interact with Rachel, our moderator. And for those who are on site, anybody, a gentle shout out, you know what this is for? Anyone? Clap. Yes, clap. What is, okay, la, Pastor Pauline, she knows already. So, can I have everyone take this out? And then, have a give it a wave. Thank you very much. So, for the next segment, since this is clap, I will leave. I will invite now, right, our dearest Felicia to come forward to share with us what, you know, regarding like Free Community Church, our cell groups. And more importantly, she's from the Jars of Clay.
Hello, hello. Okay. Hello, everybody. Okay. I'm here to actually talk about family. Now, Jeffrey is going to be a bit scared here. He was like, I thought CG, not family. But yes. Start with an overview. There are actually 13 families within FCC. As you can see, there are various ones. There are families actually with the children, not children, the youths, the youth group, that's one family. Children's ministry, Chinese ministry. Oh, sorry, I'm 40 plus already, so my eyesight is really bad. So there are also the all ladies group, like Plush. There are the mixed group like Jars of Clay, which I will be sharing with you more today. There are also the CGs with all men. There's also those that there are new Christians who just started. So these groups are actually open, but depending on season. So if you're interested in joining a group, please reach out to our pastors if you are interested. Okay, next please. Okay, so let's talk about the Jars of Clay family. We actually... my personal story. So I asked the rest of the CEG members, what is one word that comes to mind when it comes to the family? So these are actually their words, their story. So open-mindedness, diversity, love, being safe, unreserved, friends, Christ-centered, explorative, open, acceptance, congruence, still. That's electronic, so let's go to the manual ones. Nemo residuo. It means leave no man behind. That's why some entries came in late, so that's why I have to prepare them on manualmentee.com way. It's okay. There's another that came in grounded. There's another that came in support. There's another that came in growth. Last but not least, two that came in family. Okay, thank you so much, everyone.
Wow, I can really tell that everybody actually likes interaction and the clapping. So maybe we can incorporate that into our worship in the future, since we can't sing at the moment. So really, once again, thank you, Felicia, for sharing the wonderful work that you know you are doing with Just of Clay and how your journey has been together with the family. Because what makes a family not beyond blood ties is really love. Love makes a family. And, you know, speaking of family, so I'd like to welcome everyone home once again, all right, to Free Community Church. All right, if you are new with us, welcome home, and help us to stay in touch with you and know you better and serve you better by going to fcc.la/fccwelcome. That's a mouthful. All right, so on every month, we actually, at the last Sunday of every month, we have a newcomers meeting whereby you can actually get to know about our family, how to be a part of this family, and whether you can make a decision whether you want to be a part of this family. So reach out to us. You can by signing up or leaving our details behind at the form I mentioned earlier, or if you'd like to have a conversation to find out more, email to us at info@freecomchurch.org. Next, importantly, next week will be Easter Sunday. And as a preparation for the whole month, right, for it has been a month since we have launched the Witnessing Through Stained Glass project. For this initiative, actually, we give out the little cutout plastics, translucent plastic, for everyone to actually to express their faith journey artistically. All right. So if you have not done so, right, how many of you? I mean, I don't want to ask. Never mind. I take back my word. Okay, if you have not done so, all right, I'd like to really encourage you to just, you know, like if you have it with you, submit it to us. You can pass to the pastors or leave it at the, there's a little box at the front of the reception where you can actually leave it there. We'll be actually putting that up this coming week, all right. However, even though, right, the deadline there says, stated that it will be 28th of March will be the submission deadline. However, because some of you may be receiving this little cutout late, don't be too worried, right? We still encourage you to submit them, share that to us, even after 28th or even after Easter, so that we can actually keep this, document them, and really, you know, this will be a repository of all these resources where we can actually revisit them again in the future. All right, so if you'd like to know about the instructions, please go to fcc.la/stained glass. Or for more info, please email to info@freecomchurch.org. There's a lot more instructions on the short link fcc.la/stained glass, because we have like things like the steps to do it, how do you prepare yourselves in terms of doing the artwork, how do you write a reflection, and how do you submit your artwork and your stories. So please visit us there. If not, you can actually reach out to our moderator for the link if you're online in the live chat. Well, we need volunteers. In case most of people will not have noticed, we actually have a revamped yesterday because we have our volunteers, thanks to our video team, some of our producers like Jamie and Sean, together with Gary, right, really coming together yesterday, spending hours and hours, right, to relay all the lightings, you know, set up new cameras. So now, right now, right, we have been preparation for Good Fridays and Easter Sunday service. We actually have 3 cameras set up. So that's why there's no more chairs by the side here. Okay, we have camera 1, 2, and 3. So something new is coming. So stay tuned and do remember to join us for our upcoming Holy Week service. But all this happens, right, because we have volunteers. And we are looking at just even beyond, right, just production ministry or communication ministry. All right, you might not think that I don't have the skill, but as long as you have a willing heart, you know, reach out to us, drop us an email, and we'll actually bring you on a tour to look at what we actually do behind the scenes. And then you can make an informed decision, right, on how and where you can serve within the larger, you know, production ministry or Sunday ministry. All right, thank you very much. So next, I'd like to invite Pastor Miak and Pastor Pauline to come forward to share with all of us some updates about membership and Easter Sunday. Pauline and Miak, over to you.
What? Take a mask, huh? Legally able to do that, ma? 1 meter apart. But the camera crew will struggle a little bit, or you zoom out. So, hi, friends. We have some announcements to make and some things that we want to say. You see that we have notes prepared because often when we come out and make announcements, we try to roll it off our head and try to be as natural as we can. But sometimes the words we use might not be appropriate, or we might say the wrong thing, or something slips our mind, you know, from the, like, some important points that we leave out. And one of the things we always encourage you all to do is provide feedback. And we did receive feedback from about last week's service, and we would like to address them.
Firstly, a misogynistic word was used in a live chat by Sean, one of our moderators. And he was actually using it to describe his own experience, being called that word. Okay, and I know all of us use words like that from time to time without really thinking about the deeper significance. So it's not just him. So while we want to be authentic, we also want to avoid language that perpetuate the isms, biases, and prejudices of our world, especially in public, right? And while it was used in that context, that word was still inappropriate. It isn't in alignment with who we are as a community. And so for that, we are sorry, and we recognize that we can and we need to do better.
And then, last week, during the announcement of our membership, the phrasing gave the impression that we are all about money. Because one of the criteria for membership is regular financial giving, a commitment to make a regular financial giving, some phrasing like that. And for those of you who have been with us for a long time, you will know that that is really not true. That's not our character. But because we wanted to communicate in as succinctly as possible, we left out actually very wordy lines like affirm our faith statement, affirm our community values and all that. And what was left was just 21 years old and financial giving. Our heart behind membership has always been about community. What we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing in this world through us as one body. So in our membership form, we talk about the importance of our shared values and commitment to one another. While we believe that making a regular giving to the church, regardless of the amount, is a spiritual discipline, it is not the most important criteria, really. But what what our slide gave was the impression to some people. And our value has always been about invitation and not coercion. And we do not want anyone to feel less than because of your financial situation. All we always say is, first realize everyone's equal. And that includes your financial state. So this isn't who we are, and we are sorry for the impression that we came across to people. We are sorry that it caused hurt and makes some people feel that less than or less worthy because of they are unable to give to the church. we are learning to communicate a lot better, right? We are trying to not blast a lot of words on the screen, but also at the same time, we also want to communicate in a way that truly reflects our values and who we are as a community. So we want to apologize for both these things, and we will continue to do better. And this is who we are as we grow. And that said, we'll continue to make slip-ups. We'll continue to make mistakes. And please provide that feedback so we have that ability to reflect and grow and become more in line with what we want to be and what God is calling us to be as a church community. And talking about, I will update about Good Friday, and I'll let Pauline update about, talk about membership and Easter Sunday. Good Friday, we are going to have service on Good Friday at 10:30. It would be a rather different kind of service for those of you who have not joined us before. Normally, we will have a Maundy Thursday and a Good Friday service that is different in nature, right? More experiential and less like this service, right? So we are not having a Maundy Thursday service because it's quite difficult to not have contact and not have foot washing and all that. But we are going to have a Good Friday service, and we are going to have live music. Our worship team is going to have live music there to accompany the whole the reflections that we are going to go through. So I want to invite you all to sign up and register, because we really have limited seats. We only have a limit of 50 people who can be present on Good Friday. So sign up once the link is up. Yeah.
Yep. So other than a Good Friday service, of course, we have an Easter Sunday service. And this Easter Sunday service is going to be very special. You've heard about the stained glass project and everything. We'll be unveiling the stained glass project. It will be actually done on our windows here. And so those of you who are still waiting to submit, please submit your tiles. And we'll continue to grow this story as we go along, as Jimmy has said. Okay, so come join us for our Easter Sunday service, because we'll be having a baptism and membership as well. So for those of you who are still considering whether to be a member of this church, perhaps you've been attending over the past year, perhaps you've been attending online, and that's how you got to know us. But you're starting to feel like, yeah, I think this is like what Felicia said, right? This feels a little bit like family. And if it is so for you, I want to invite you to write in to us, right, at info@freecomchurch.org. We will just send you the membership form just so that you can think about it, pray about it, consider it, and to see if this is something that God is calling you to. Okay, no pressure, all right? No expectations. It's an invitation. All right, come join us for our Easter Sunday baptism and membership Sunday. Okay, and lastly, I want to say, you know, with what Felicia shared over CLAP, which is basically about appreciating our members and our leaders, right, and our ministries, is please, if you are in a cell group, you know, please go appreciate your cell group leaders this coming week. Send them a text, bring them out for a meal. Just say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for wanting to bring us together in such a way. All right, just go appreciate them. All right? And now I want to invite you to receive the benediction as we close the service together. Let us pray. Loving God, you surprise us at every turn of our lives. You surprise us with the depth of your love and the extent you would go just to be with us. What you would not do just to be with us. God, thank you. Thank you that as we enter Holy Week, you are reminding us how much you have loved us in the past, in the present, and even into the future. And so, God, as we go out this week, we commit each other into your hands. And now you, go. Go as God's people who is surrounded by God's love, to bring this love as imitators of Christ into the world that God sends you to. As God's grace and peace and justice goes with you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for the service, and I'll see you in our Holy Week services.